Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. My friends, I'm happy to be back. I've just got back from Paris, France. Spent 2 weeks in Paris, did 2 days in London, took the train underneath the English Channel, went over to London for a couple of days and came back. But I'll tell you what, man, when you go to places like this and these other countries, Europe especially, it just blows your mind. It blew my mind. It always does every time I go there, and I've been there many times. But it's just a whole different world. People live at a different level than we do here. And so I was trying to put this all together because, you know, my mind is one of those things that just try to create parallels and try to create patterns and figure out why things are and how they happen and so on and so forth and what's important, what's not important, all those kinds of challenges. I think a lot of people are like me. You just look at stuff, and other people just, they go along blindly. They just go through life, and whatever it is, they do it. It happens. It's okay. It's not okay. It doesn't matter to them. But, man, when I go over there and I just spend time in some other culture, I have to just look at that and think, okay, what are the pros? What are the cons? What can you learn from all this? And I'll tell you, the environment is completely different. I mean, I live here in Houston, Texas. This is hustle, bustle, get out and make it. Make your first million, your second million, your 20 million, your 100 million. It's just a different world. You go over there and it's like there's nothing. There's no ambition at all. Ambition there means that you might someday own your own little restaurant, which is a little hole in the wall and 10 tables out front. If you've got 10 tables, you're big time. And it's completely different. There's no marketing. I mean, I'm sitting here going to go into a marketing meeting today. I've been gone for 2 weeks plus. And we're going to have a marketing meeting. Okay, what are we doing? You know, how are we attracting people? What does our product look like on the marketplace, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? But these people just not, they don't care about any of that. In fact, they don't even answer the phone. There's many times we wanted to go out. We wanted to make sure we could get reservations to eat somewhere. And they won't answer the phone. Or if they do answer the phone, they go, no, we don't take reservations. You just show up. We've got X number of tables. We've got our regulars. You know, if you get in, you get in. If you don't, you don't. I mean, that's just an amazing business approach. So why do you care? Well, the reason I think you care is because of a story I'm going to share with you. I've heard this story many, many times before. I heard it when I was much younger. Kind of interested me. It was an intriguing story, but it's very relevant to this issue. And it's a story about a Mexican fisherman and a investment banker who decides to go to Mexico and take a vacation. And he goes down there and he sees this Mexican fisherman. And the fisherman's leaning up against the tree, and in his little fishing boat is some really nice fish, really high quality fish. And the investment banker's impressed by the quality of fish and asks the Mexican how long it took him to catch these fish. And the Mexican replied, only a little while. And then the banker asked, well, why didn't you stay out longer and catch more fish? So he goes out for a little while, catches some really nice fish. He comes back, pulls the boat up, and takes a siesta. And the banker just can't understand that. So he proceeds to talk with the guy, and he goes, look, what do you do with the rest of your day? I mean, if you just go out there and fish just a little bit of fish, what do you do with the rest of your day? And the Mexican fisherman goes, well, I fish just enough to take care of my family's needs. And that's all I need to fish for, is just my family's needs. And then after that, he goes, but what do? The Mexican says, well, I sleep late. I fish a little. I play with my children. I take a siesta with my wife. I stroll around in the village each evening where I sip some wine, play guitar with my amigos, and have a full and busy life. And the investment banker just can't even believe this, right? He's just losing his mind on this guy. So, I'm sharing this story. I looked the story up so I wouldn't butcher it too bad. So the investment banker scoffs at him and says, I'm an Ivy League MBA businessman, and I could help you. You could spend more time fishing and with the proceeds buy a bigger boat. And with the proceeds from the bigger boat, you could buy several boats until you eventually you have a whole fleet of fishing boats. Instead of selling your catch to a middleman, you could sell directly to the processor, eventually opening your own cannery. You could control the product, processing, and distributing. Then he added, of course, you would need to leave the small coastal fishing village and move to Mexico City where you could run and grow your entire enterprise. The Mexican fisherman asked, but senor, how long will this all take, right? In which the American replied, 15, 20 years. And the Mexican asked, but what then? And the American laughed and said, that's the best part. When time is right, you would announce an IPO and sell your company stock to the public and become very rich and make millions. Millions, senor. Then what? To which the investment banker replied, then you would retire. You could move to a small coastal fishing village where you could sleep in late, fish a little, play with your kids, take siestas with your wife, and stroll in the village in the evenings where you could sip wine and play your guitar with amigos. So there it is. As we as Americans go into these European countries and we see these people do basically nothing, I mean, they work in such moderation that is simply to produce enough to survive. There's no future. There's no retirement. They don't even care about retirement. There is no such thing as retirement. They live in a socialistic country where retirement's probably taken care of for them. All they have to do is produce enough to survive. So what happens? First of all, they sleep all day. These restaurants and these stores, they open late. Everything there opens late. So a daytime restaurant might open at 12 o'clock and maybe 1 or 2. And then nighttime restaurants don't open until 6 or 7. And when they open, they put their tables and chairs out on the street, maybe have a few tables and chairs inside their little restaurant. And they have the owner, maybe his kid, maybe his wife, maybe one other person working, and they serve. And it's slow. There's very few customers, even when it's busy. And there are times when it's busy. The better locations on the main streets get busy. It's just a slow, laid-back process. And the people that are there, they go there and they just sit and they eat and they sip wine and they smoke and they talk. No hurry, no place to go, nothing to do. Now, some of those people are tourists, obviously. But I'm talking about when you go down the back streets and you see all these little nook restaurants and places. These are locals, and they've all got their buddies. And I remember I went to one restaurant. I said, you know, it was like 10 o'clock at night, and it was still light outside. It didn't get dark there till 10 o'clock at night. And I go, hey, can I, you know, get some wine, get a glass of wine, buy a bottle? And he says, no, we're closed. I go, can I get a bottle of wine? He goes, no, we're closed. And he was sitting out front with three or four of his friends just drinking the profits. Smoking, drinking wine, taking up space, but wouldn't serve, wouldn't make any money. It's just a very different laid-back scenario. It's just a completely different approach to life. Whereas I think about America and I think about the fact that ever since you were a kid, you were taught you had to go to school and get good grades and grind and grind and grind so you could get into a good college, so you could work hard to get good grades, so you could grind and grind and grind, so you could get out of college and get a good job so you could grind and grind and grind and work hard so you get a promotion and a raise and keep doing that for 40 years until you're 60 years old plus. And during that time, you're supposed to buy a small home, a medium-sized home, a large home, your first car, a better car, a new car, two cars, three cars, a truck, motorcycles, ATVs, four-wheel drives, motorhomes, all different types of clothes and handbags and shoes and jewelry and dishes and Christmas stuff and Thanksgiving stuff and Halloween stuff and stuff and stuff and stuff. And then you need a larger place to live so you can store more crap that you've accumulated. And you have to work harder so you have more money so you can afford to buy a bigger place to accumulate more junk. But as soon as you buy more space, then you immediately, somebody in your family starts accumulating more junk. But now you have to take care of the stuff. And as my dad told me when I was a kid, you don't own crap. Crap owns you. Oh, God. It's just tiring to think about the American dream. the American lifestyle. And no matter how much you have, I remember when I was a kid, I dreamed of making 100 grand a year because my dad had never made 100 grand a year. As soon as I made 100 grand a year, that was nothing, right? I remember thinking, if you could ever be a millionaire, once you became a millionaire is nothing. In this day and age, a million is nothing. And then it was, well, what is? You know, it's a really weird thing to go from a million to a billion because a billion is the 1,000 million. So you focus on, you know, 10 million. And I know that's a ridiculous concept for some of you out there going, man, I wish I even had my first million. Okay, I get it. And then you want 100 million. And then you start thinking about, could I ever be a billionaire? Well, you know, it's 10 times where I'm at now and, you know, blah, blah, blah. You go back to the normal person, they're working their entire life, struggling, tried hard, working hard at their job, saving, putting money away, trying to get their kids through college. I mean, it's just, it's all just a struggle. It's just a giant struggle. And then you go over there and you see people get up late, put out a few chairs, prep some food, and then sit and wait for people to come and buy something from them. You see people put out tables with junk, trinkets, garbage. Whenever you go anywhere, there's these places where they just throw these towels on the floor and throw stuff out on them. And, you know, you look at it like, oh, wow, this is French stuff. It's just trash. But people are buying it and they're just sitting there. They don't even have a store selling their trinkets, selling their trash. And they're perfectly happy doing that. There's no college degree. There's no education. There's no getting ahead. There's no corporate ladder. You don't see any of that stuff over there. None of it. Even when you go into the large stores, it's a completely different approach to everything. It really is. I mean, the large stores are broken up into small stores. And I mean, like our malls have small stores in the malls, whatever. But even within the store, there's stores within the stores within the stores. Everything is small business on top of small business. It's just a different way of looking at life. But there's no getting ahead. There was nobody I saw that was thinking about getting ahead. That wasn't even in the discussion. Anywhere you went, anything you did, anything you saw being done. And yet in America, we struggle and strain and stress to get there. And as I sat there, having been retired since I was 34 years old, thinking about, I was able to let it all go when I was 34 years old because I was willing to earn enough passive income to replace my earned income, which wasn't that high at that point. I was making 60 grand a year, 3,000 a month, 3,500. I was willing to retire at that and be happy at that. It was kind of like I had taken on the European thing. I'd rather sleep in late and get up and fish and take care of a few problems with my rental properties and then spend the rest of the day having a good time. But the difference was, and this is what's really strange about it, is that I added on more houses. And then I added on some duplexes and fourplexes. And then I bought a small apartment, then added another small apartment. And eventually I went to medium-sized apartments and got rid of the houses. And I had medium apartments and was happy with that for 15 years. For 15 years, I owned three apartments. Each of them made me $15,000 a month. So I was making $45,000 a month. Now think about that. I was only making $45,000 a year when I retired. I was now making $45,000 a month, tax-free income. And I was happy with that. For 15 years, I had no more desire than that. Then one day I read this stupid book about being a billionaire. Yep. And then it all changed. I wanted more. But the reality was, I never gave up the fact that I didn't want to work. I just wanted to earn passive income. We'll take a short break. Be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
The roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments. Learn to retire in 5 years or less through real estate investing. Learn how, learn now. Let Lifestyles Unlimited show you how. Get educated now. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited. You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today I've been jumping back and forth in the first two segments, covering basically two different approaches to life. Having come back from Paris and spent 2 weeks out of the country here, what I found was is that I saw life there very much like the little fisherman story that I told in the first segment, where the fisherman decided early on in life that all he would do is he would just produce enough fish to provide for his family, and then he would spend the rest of the day doing everything he wanted to do and living a great life in and of what made him happy, but not in any way, shape, or form financially successful in any way, shape, other than current existence. And then I talked about the American dream. And really, it goes through that in this little fisherman story where the MBA comes in and explains to him how he could work harder, make more money, build businesses, become rich. And the Mexican fisherman just said, well, why? Why do all that? How long will it take? He said, well, after 10 or 15, 20 years, you could actually retire. So, well, what do I do when I retire? And his explanation was go right back to what the guy's doing right now. But there is a difference. And that difference is if you go back to doing what you're doing right now, you're not doing it in a wooden rowboat, fishing, laying under a tree and drinking cheap wine and going in and playing guitar with your 10 friends. It is having enough money to travel all over the world, to do whatever you want to do, be what you want to be, see what you want to see, go where, whenever you want, and have the money to do it is a different animal. But if you spend your entire life to get there, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old, to where by the time you can't do that until you're 60 or 70 years old, then you've really wasted your whole life. So then I proposed to you this third option. And this third option is what I did, which was at 30 years of age, actually somewhere in my late 20s or 30s, I decided to start building passive streams of income. And I just quit working at 34 years of age. And so there I was. I was the fisherman, producing a small amount of money, which replicated what it cost me to go to work and produce for my family through passive streams of income. But here's where the difference is. The fisherman just caught enough fish for that day. Fish would go bad, and he would provide for his family's needs and maybe sold one fish at market and got some money to buy other stuff they needed. But what I did was I produced enough income that I could save and buy more passive streams of income, more rent houses, then eventually duplexes, then eventually fourplexes, then eventually apartments, all the while maintaining it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. So if you ever listen to lifestyles, advertisements, or marketing, it was never set up to be the Del Walmsley real estate program. It was set up to be the Lifestyles Unlimited program where you learn how to live an incredible life. And it's not the money, it's the lifestyle is the motto. Hence, what was the concept? The concept is while I put in a few hours a day to produce the results I need to provide for my family, I maybe put in one half or another 1 hour extra a day. Instead of working 2 hours a day to produce what I need, I work 3 hours a day and produce enough that I can grow my business. But I'm very careful to grow it passively and not grow it by picking up businesses where I have to work in the business and do more work because I own more business. There's a book out there called E-Myth, the entrepreneurial myth, thinking that people think just because if you're a painter, you start a painting company, all of a sudden you're an entrepreneur. No, you're just a painter that owns his own business. He works for himself. You've got to do all the bookkeeping, the accounting, the advertising, the marketing, the hiring, the firing, the buying the paint, and then some of the painting. That's not an entrepreneur. An entrepreneur does what I did. I started a finance company. I got somebody who had a finance license and said, let's go into business together. We went into business. They put together the company. They maintain the company. They do the work. And I own half of the company. We did that with realty. I've never become a realtor. I'm not a realtor. I'm not a broker. Yet I own seven real estate companies, none of which do I work in. I don't even have a license. I can't work in them by law. So we have a finance company, a real estate company, I have a software company. I can't even program. I can't even program my own phone. Yet I own a software company. Again, creating a business, putting people in there to do what needs to be done, get it done. And just be the entrepreneur that started the business. That's the way I set things up. I set it up with Lifestyles Unlimited that way, except I like teaching. And so I took upon myself teaching in the very beginning. I did most of the teaching. Then later, they wanted me to do the radio shows. So I did the radio shows, which is another form of teaching. That was fun to me. Since then, I've cut back the teaching to next to nothing. I've cut the radio shows back. I've got three guys doing radio shows besides me. So again, the key is I kept building my entrepreneurial base. I kept building my income, building my wealth, but not increasing the amount of time spent working in the businesses. That's the key. That's the third option. It's probably the most difficult option because your inclination is to believe many people believe they're not worth earning money. You don't deserve money unless you work. So you want to get in there and dig in and work. I believe there's two types of people, those willing to work and those willing to let others work. I'm willing to let others do the job. I only do it when it becomes necessary or if it's just something I'm having fun doing. But a lot of people believe if they don't do the work, it doesn't get done right. They can't trust anybody. People will rip them off, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's no way to be financially free because other people will take advantage of you if you leave any kind of control in anybody else's hands other than your own. And so, hence, you're stuck in it. The other one is some people just don't want responsibility. They don't want to own the asset. They don't want to be responsible. They would rather just work for somebody. Get up, go to work, come home, slam the keys on the table, and just be the little fisherman. I did my fishing for the day, although in America the fishing is 12 hours a day. 8 to 12 hours a day, 5, 6, 7 days a week. That's American fishing, guys. And the siesta, there is none. There is no break. That's just because we're in a culture where get ahead is everything. Keep up with the Kardashians. How rich can you be? How much richer can you be? How can you stay ahead of the Joneses? And really, the point I'm trying to get across to you is when you go and you see the people live their entire lives and they don't need that drive and they're perfectly happy not having it, then you ask yourself, is it really worth it to live that grind every day? And I suggest to you that I came to the conclusion it wasn't. After working 12 hours a day, 6 days a week in the health club business for 12 years, I decided it's not worth it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to spend my life doing this. And somewhere around 27, 28, 29 years of age, I started looking for passive streams of income. By the time I was 34, I retired. So it was just a situation where you have to make that decision. I made the decision early in life. I wasn't going to do that for the rest of my life. Some of you come in here and you join up and you're 40 and you're 50 and you're 60 and you're 70. I had one the other day. I said, why don't you try this? And the guy goes, I'm 81 years old. And I said, ooh, okay. Maybe that's not a good idea because you're 81 years old. I mean, the point I'm making to you is 81 years old and you're still looking for a way to produce passive streams of income. So I think you start young. You start your kids building passive streams of income. You start yourself building passive streams of income. And little ones, get used to it. I don't even care if it's just a savings account and you're seeing money come in every month. At least see some money come in every month and count the money. Don't count the net value. That's good. That's cool. How rich am I? How much money do I have? That's neat. But really, count how much cash flow you have each month because it's the cash flow that's going to allow you to retire. That's really where you want to be. It's the cash flow. So you think about this. You have a choice. Do nothing. Do just enough work to get by. That's a very large percentage of Americans. The median income is $50,000 a year, $54,000 a year or less. I don't know how people survive on $54,000 a year, but they do. You could just decide I'm going to do the absolute minimum I can do in life and just get along. And that's pretty much the European method. Or you can grind yourself to death, bust your butt, do everything you possibly do to get ahead, and maybe never even become worth $1 million. And so the last segment here, I'm going to change directions. We've been talking about, lifestyle and the quality thereof and the choices you make. But this last segment, I'm going to try to squeeze in some information here. I just got back, like I said, in town. And one of the first things I had to do was run over to my CPA and sign all my tax returns. They say, what do you mean all your tax returns? Well, I have not only personal income tax return, but I also have multiple state tax returns because I own companies in so many different states. And so I have to sign all these tax returns and so forth. I went through all that, and one of the things that he's pointed out to me as he went through my tax return with me is how much money I saved because of the Trump tax cuts. And, they just passed the big, beautiful bill, as they're calling it, while I was gone. They passed this, and they've there's all this wonderful stuff that happened for entrepreneurs and for business people and for real estate investors in this bill. Since I only have one segment, and it probably take a whole radio show to go through it in detail, I'm just going to list the stuff out briefly for those of you that are listening today, give you just a short explanation, and maybe tomorrow I'll dig deep into it and show you how much money it means. I will tell you this, that I've got back massive check from the government each and every year. Because now, remember, I have to pay money in to get money back. Remember that. But my tax returns are just unbelievable. They blow your mind every year, the amount of money I get back. I mean, in excess of $1 million kind of dollars, right, in refunds just because of the depreciation of all the different amounts of real estate that I own. It's a beautiful thing, but it's illegal. That's the way everybody's tax return should look if they own real estate, right? So here's the things that passed in this bill that are incredible. One of them is bonus depreciation was reinstated and made permanent. So now, whereas you could start a new asset and bonus out the depreciation, take and really front end it all and get a massive write-off on a brand new asset, that bonus depreciation was something that was in place, but only until the end of this bill that was going to run out here next month. And they put that back in. They passed it again, but this time they made it permanent so it won't disappear. So bonus depreciation, it's a massive thing. I'll explain it to you in another time. The next one is qualified business income deduction. This one is unbelievable. All right. Now, this tax bill reduces the corporate tax brackets, right? But most small business people do not file as corporate taxes. We don't file as C corporations. We file either as LLCs or as S corporations, which is a flow-through taxing event that you don't pay taxes at the corporate level. All that falls onto your personal income. Well, if you make all this income, then you're taxed at your personal income tax rate. Well, here's the deal, is that when they changed they adjusted the tax rates for corporate taxes, they felt that was unfair to people that were S corporations and LLCs that were paying at their personal tax rate, which is not the corporate tax rate. So they went ahead and said, if you have your business through those kinds of entities, we're going to call that the qualified entities, your qualified business income will reduce by 20%. So all my different LLCs and corporation or LLCs and S corporations and businesses, the top 20% of the income just goes away. The rest of the income's still in there. The rest of the expenses are still in there, but it drops your taxable income by a massive, massive amount. It's called qualified business income. And again, it was in there before, but they put it back in and made it permanent at 20% reduction. The next one is estate gift tax. And we all know what that is when you die, you know, you have to pay taxes on your personal net worth. Now, I did not look this one up. If I do this in a long form, I will look it up. But what he was talking about when I saw the news piece from Trump was farmers who have massive wealth in land leave their ranch or leave their farm to their kids, and the kids have all this asset that they have to pay 50% tax on, but they have no money to do it. And so they have to take out liens against assets that really can't afford to pay debt to pay off the IRS. Well, he has changed that. Now, I'm going to look into it in detail, see if I can find out what exactly he's done, but he's fixed that problem accordingly. The next one is opportunity zones. These zones were, for a short period of time, you had to get in and do something in these, you know, opportunity zones. Now those zones are permanent. And the benefit from each zone, if you do something in that zone, you get the benefit for 10 years straight. So let's say you got a part of town that's economically downturned, it's depleted, it's redlined, it's bad, and you want to create something. You want that area to come back. Well, you create an opportunity zone and people will build something there. They will do something like renovate an apartment or build a new apartment complex there or put it in a grocery store or something, and they get these opportunity zone benefits. Now, I don't know exactly what all those opportunity zone benefits are because I've never used them. I think it's something like property taxes go away and or maybe income taxes go away. I'm not sure. I'll look that up. Again, like I said, I could do a whole show on just this stuff, but I wanted you to understand this stuff actually got passed. The next one is the SALT tax, which is state and local property and income taxes. So if you're already paying state income tax, you're already paying property tax. So like in California and New York, they pay state income tax. But in Texas, we don't pay state income tax, but we pay massive property taxes. So what happens is in the SALT tax, you can only write off $10,000 a year, and that phased out with how much money you made. Now it's gone up to $40,000 a year. And again, it phases out. When you get up to the kind of income I make, you can't even use the SALT tax. My CPA was laughing at me because it went up, but you don't get to use it, sort of thing. But the bottom line is for the average person to be able to write off an additional $40,000 worth of property taxes, et cetera, income tax, whatever they are, it's a benefit. So I hope you enjoyed today's show. Welcome back. Look forward to working with you some more. And remember this, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.